The City Quick Connect podcast is brought to you by the Municipal Association of South Carolina.
Hey everyone, this is Russell Cox, editor of the Municipal Association of South Carolina's Uptown publication, and I am joined today by Diana Gracely. Diana is the city administrator for the city of Simpsonville. Diana, welcome.
Thank you so much, Russell. I'm happy to be with you.
Glad to have you. Simpsonville is where there is the tagline of simply home and then simply many other things, depending on the context. What has Simpsonville been simply this or that of late?
So we're simply entertaining with our new art center, with the CCNB amphitheater. We're simply delicious with all the new restaurants we have opening up. Simply eclectic with all the new boutiques and shopping opportunities in downtown.
Simply eclectic. That is definitely not a phrase I've heard before. Many of our listeners will know Simpsonville as one of the Golden Strip cities on I-385, joined by Malden and Fountain Inn. So it's an area stretching up and down 385 where there's been a lot of growth and economic development and many exciting things going on as a result of that. And we are here to talk about one of them in particular. Simpsonville won a 2023 Achievement Award from the Municipal Association for the Simpsonville Arts Center, housed in the historic Simpsonville Elementary School, which had been empty in the downtown for some number of years after the school closed. So let me ask you this to start with. There's a lot of stuff going on here. What is the Simpsonville Arts Center?
The Simpsonville Arts Center is many things. It's an art gallery where we do new art exhibits every 6 to 8 weeks. It's the auditorium where we have performing arts like community theater, ballet. Greenville Symphony has played in there and has another date scheduled. It's also artist studios along the corridor where the former classrooms were. We have a variety of artists that occupy that space. Mm-hmm. And then very soon, we're starting renovation on the gymnasium part of the building that will be an event center. So once we have that up and running, it really can be anything you want it to be.
So can you walk us through the background of both the city deciding to pursue an arts venue in the first place and how it landed on this space that already had an auditorium, already had a large space in the gymnasium and classrooms?
Yes. So when I discussed coming here to be the city administrator with multiple council members, one of the themes that I noticed with all of them was that they really wanted this former elementary school historic building to become something useful to put back into the community, namely an art center. The city had done a feasibility study on it. And, you know, of course, the challenge was the amount of capital that had to go into that building to get it functional again.
Because how old of a building are we talking in this case?
1939. Yeah, this was built during the Great Depression under the old WPA program. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, a lot of history in there and a lot of work that needed to be done. In fact, I mentioned the gallery space early in our discussion. There was no lobby in that building, basically a very small vestibule, and then you went right into a 900-seat auditorium because it was a school. And so it didn't need to function like you would expect an art center to have lobby space and then go into the auditorium.
They didn't need a box office for the elementary school students.
They did not need that. They just needed to herd them in there for whatever activity they had going on and then herd them back out to the classrooms. So, yeah, we had to change the function of the building, too. We were very fortunate to get an Appalachian Regional Commission grant, which was the catalyst for this renovation. It was $500,000. And in order to accept that grant, the city had to commit the remainder of the funding to get phase one of this project completely done. Because as you know, grant agencies are not going to just give you a blank check and say, do as much as you can. I mean, they want to make sure that when their money goes into a project, what comes out on the other end is a fully functioning whatever you promised them you were going to do in that application. And so we promised them a fully functioning art center. And, you know, so that combined a lot of funding. It was the $500,000. It was the local hospitality tax that council allocated to the project. It was some state accommodations tax for the new auditorium seating. It was, believe it or not, a lottery winner who donated $75,000 to the city for the purpose of restoring this building to an art center. Mm-hmm. And of course, they wanted to remain anonymous, so we didn't have to give them any naming rights. So that was nice.
I imagine people still ask you all the time who the lottery winner was.
They do, and I can honestly tell them I have no idea. I couldn't tell you if it's, you know, a male or a female. I know nothing about them. So all of that was handled through an attorney. Mm-hmm. But we were thrilled to have that, you know, and it gave the center a little more notoriety, like, you know, a lot of positive press after that. First of all, we had a lottery winner of nearly $1 billion. From a store just on the outside of Simpsonville. So Simpsonville was in the national media, you know, when everybody was trying to figure out who this lottery winner was. And then we got exposure for the art center because of the donations. So it was a great thing. And it helped get us closer to what we needed to make this center function. And I mentioned to you, we're doing the gymnasium renovation. Council had actually just put that money in this year's budget. And we are doing a new municipal complex along the periphery of City Park, which is where the art center is located. Mm-hmm. And so we were able to piggyback on the contract that we currently have with the general contractor for the new ground up construction to go back and finish this gymnasium space. So the timing worked out really well for that. And I'm just thrilled that in a few months, that building is going to be completely redone. I mean, it already functions well, but it's going to be even better than any of us can imagine once we have that event space up and running.
So I would be interested in talking some about the planning process and also the upgrade process, because for those who have not been in an elementary school lately, and certainly a historic elementary school, you might have forgotten just how small the square footage is sometimes. Like you talk about an elementary school gymnasium. That's not a very big gymnasium.
Right. Well, I thought you were going a different direction with that. I thought you were going to say how small the stall doors and toilets are and water fountains, because those too, I mean, all of that had to be completely gutted and redone because that, you know, it's built for not adult people to occupy. So
yeah, all the toilets and sinks are low to the ground.
Very low to the ground. So yes, we had to redo everything. But yeah, it's an amazing space. It's laid out, I'm sure, the way many historic elementary schools are. That's with an auditorium on one end, the gymnasium on the other end, and then the corridor with the classroom spaces in between. And so it really lent itself perfectly for the use that we have now with the art center, because the flow is great. We have multiple entrances. So we have a studio entrance that the studio tenants can use, and we can keep the lobby secure after hours, because we do have some valuable art hanging in there that doesn't belong to us. It's there on display for the artist and for sale. So, you know, when our art center manager is not in her office, we keep that space locked up. And so it flows beautifully for this purpose. And I would say to anybody who's thinking about doing something like this in an older building or any building that they might want to repurpose, you know, go walk through it and think about how it's going to flow once you come up with your final concept.
You mentioned the director. How did getting a director for the center come about?
So that was put in the budget last year. We finished up the space. We had a beautiful dedication and everyone was so excited. And then in a couple months, as I'm presenting a draft of the budget to council, I had money in there for an art center manager, because what I said to them is, you know, I don't want to have this beautiful space and have it not be occupied. It needs to be vibrant and engaging, and there needs to be activity all the time. And they agreed, and it was a great decision, because our manager came in and she got all of those studio spaces leased out to great artists who were bringing the public in to either take classes or view their art works that they may want to purchase. Just so many great things happening. And not only that, but she is there to do private rentals, to talk to community theater groups about bringing productions to Simpsonville. I mentioned we've already had the Greenville Symphony once. She's already arranged for them to come back again. So that's the other piece of advice I would give you, is don't just do the building and leave it there to its own devices. You really need somebody there to manage the programming, because an activated space is the best use of the space, not to just have it be dormant in between productions.
There was a ballet that came in that was a big deal, was there not?
Yes, there was. And then this year we were going to have the Nutcracker on stage for the first time. So that's something we've never had in our community before, and we're thrilled to be able to offer that. And, you know, we have ballet studios here who now don't have to drive all the way to the northern part of the county, to Timmons Arena at Furman, to have these productions. We can do them right here in Simpsonville. And people come in to see these, and they go to restaurants and either before or after these performances. So it really is helping in every facet of economic development in our community.
Yes, I did want to talk about both the economic development. I remember from the initial presentation that that was, as the Art Center has progressed, that has become a big part of it, and also the arts and culture impact for Simpsonville.
Yes, I've always said that to me, when you look at the tenets of economic development, I think quality of life has to be the first thing you consider. Mm-hmm. Because when you're asking people to invest in your community, you want them to see that you've made that investment too, and that you have, there are things about your community that are attractive to new residents, new business owners, you know, visitors coming into the community. And so I think in that respect, you know, we definitely hit a home run with this. But then there's also the more tangible, you know, when there are things going on in the Art Center, whether it be a new gallery opening, an exhibition, or a performance on the stage, people are coming into town who don't necessarily live here. They're coming for these events, and they're looking for, you know, a place to dine, or, you know, maybe see something tantalizing, like we have a great olive oil store, you know, maybe pick up a basket for a gift while they're in town, and, you know, maybe they wouldn't be here otherwise. And so it's nice to have those dollars kept locally for our business owners.
Do you get a sense of how large of an area for, like, for the events, gallery openings, how large of an area that you draw from bringing them into Simpsonville?
Yes, so definitely all points of Greenville County, and we've had visitors from Anderson and Spartanburg, so regionally as well. You know, we anticipate with large enough gallery openings, we could have people coming from out of state even for those, because it is a beautiful gallery space, and we're getting better and better every time we do these exhibits and we do the opening receptions that accompany them. We're really starting to get good at this. And so I think we're attracting more and more people. And we're looking for artists that are new and diverse and, you know, not just the same thing over and over again. And what we try to do too is pair the art exhibitions with whatever's happening on stage at the time. For instance, this weekend and next weekend, we have a performance of Crowns, and it's a musical about hats in the African American community and how they tell the story through the different hats they wear. And the art exhibition we have right now is urban art from local minority artists, African-American artists. And it's wonderful because it goes hand in hand with what we're doing on stage at the time. And I think that's just a great symbiotic relationship between the performing arts and the visual arts.
This makes me think about the leased studio spaces, just to give people a sense of what you're looking at. Are we talking painters? Are we talking sculptors?
We have currently two potters. We have a fabric artist. We have a painter. We have a children's art studio. Mm-hmm. We have a music and sound studio where they actually do recordings. And then that particular artist is teaching music to students as well. So we have a variety of things to offer. And we actually do have one studio space that just became available. So you mentioned sculptor. I would love to have a sculptor in there. We have very high ceilings in those classrooms. And so I think it would work for that purpose. And that would be a great addition to our art center. So if anyone's listening and you're a sculptor or you know one, send them our way. We would love to talk to them.
And I imagine the music studio space, they would need baffling and sound baffling, and that probably the walls in old buildings probably need a good bit.
Yes. They do a lot of their recording in the evening hours when there's else going on. Obviously, if there's a production on stage in the auditorium, they're not going to have recordings or classes going on during those times. We've really worked it out where I think all of the tenants in the studio spaces are very happy about getting some walk-in traffic from the happenings in the auditorium, but not being overrun by noise and other outside distractions from what their mission is. It's a pretty quiet space. And, you know, they all have secure doors to get them in and out. So that's the beauty of it, too. It's, you know, all of these different arts that are in one location, but it's their own unique space, and they use it the best way they can for their certain goal that they're trying to accomplish. The children's studio, you know, a lot of those things are happening after school hours or in the summertime, you know, it gets a little bit busier. Some of the other artists prefer to work early in the morning or later in the evening after some of those tenants have cleared out for the day. So everyone's working together. They get along well. It's just been a remarkable thing to see happen. You know, all of these people coming together for the same purpose.
One thing to circle back on the auditorium space that I did not think to ask, what is the capacity of that space?
So I mentioned to you early on that, you know, when it was the old school before any renovation, you walked through the front doors into this small vestibule and then a 900 seat auditorium. What we knew was we desperately need a lobby space and box office space and concessions. What we don't need are 900 seats, because what you don't want to do is a community theater production where you maybe have 300 people in a 900 seat auditorium, and then it looks like it's very poorly attended. So what we did is we reduced the seating. We have 369 fixed seats and then 12 handicapped seats and room for companions. So that gets us pretty close to 400 is the capacity. And it seems to be the perfect number. You know, we've had lots of productions that were completely sold out, but they've gone on 3-week runs. We did have a musical. We had an Elvis impersonator here and sold out two shows. And so they added two more shows. So you can always add. It's hard to take away. That's what my mother tries to say when we make our food too spicy. You can always add more, but you can't take it away once you put it in there. So it's better to have a full auditorium than a half empty one. And so I think we got that number just right. And we can add productions if we need to.
I imagine there was a lot of discussion about where the sweet spot was.
We had those discussions with directors of theater companies who had that experience, you know, because I'm a city administrator, you know, I have no experience in community theater or in running any kind of art studio or auditorium for live performances. So I really had to rely on people who knew. And so that was really helpful. And that's one thing I found in the arts community. You know, everyone's mission is the same, to bring something mm-hmm. beautiful and alive to their community. And that's certainly what we've done here. And with great assistance from, you know, other theater companies who have given us their words of wisdom along the way.
City government does get to be fun sometimes, doesn't it?
Sometimes we get to do fun things. And so this was a great project. I've done a lot of projects. I've been around for a long time, Russell. This is my third city that I've managed. I'm beyond my retirement years now. I could have retired 4 months ago, and I'm still doing this because we have all these other projects we're working on, and we can talk about that if you have time. But
yes,
I did tell my mayor when this project was complete and we had the big unveiling, and it's one of the most fun events I've ever been part of. I said, out of all the projects I've ever done, this is by far my favorite. This one feels like it hit closest to home for me because I saw it before I was with council as they conceptualized what they wanted. We went out and found grant funding and put together other funding sources to make it happen. The community rallied around it. It's just been tremendous. It's been a wonderful project to be part of.
So I often in these discussions ask the question of what's next. And in the case of the Art Center, we've kind of talked about, you know, redoing that gymnasium space. So mm-hmm. you, in terms of talking about what's next, you know, we've mentioned some of the other things that I always keep an eye on out of Simpsonville, the new municipal complex, the CC&B amphitheater. So what's next overall in Simpsonville, and how's the Art Center part of it?
So the Art Center is located on Academy Street, and Academy mm-hmm. Street runs perpendicular to Curtis Street. And so between Academy and Curtis and Park Drive, those are the streets that make up the periphery of what we call City Park. And mm-hmm. City Park was a beautiful park full of amenities, but had been neglected for some years. You know, the sidewalks mm-hmm. were cracking and the playground equipment, some of it was older, or, you know, some of the features were very popular and there was no room to add more of those. Basketball court was a little worn down. The tennis courts were worn down. The recreation fields were not as graded out and sodded as they could be. And so what we said was, if we're going to build these new buildings, new city hall, police, and fire mm-hmm. along the periphery of the park, we just need to completely reimagine City Park. Mm-hmm. And when I tell you this is going to be the crown jewel of Simpsonville, and we have a lot of jewels to be proud of. You mentioned the CC&B Amphitheater. We have the Art Center now. This reimagined City Park, I think, will replace the Art Center as my all-time favorite project, because it is going to be absolutely extraordinary. Every amenity that we had in the park before is being redone. It's moving to a different location, so it's going to be completely new. And we're also adding a great lawn, an amphitheater, a water feature, not a splash pad, a beautiful...
I was just about to say, are we talking splash? But yeah.
No, I like more peaceful water ambient noise, you know, mm-hmm. white noise, if you will, especially around a performing arts space. So we have the auditorium for inside performing arts. This amphitheater is going to give us a great venue for outdoor, maybe a Shakespeare festival or other, you know, an artisphere. We'll call it something different, of course, because Greenville mm-hmm. has artisphere, but an arts festival that we do every year that's similar to artisphere or art fields in Lake City. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, there are so many communities in this state that are doing magnificent things. And you don't have to reinvent the wheel. You can look at what they're doing and size it to your community and make it work for you. And so having that outdoor small amphitheater space is going to be a tremendous addition to downtown. All of these things are in the downtown. You know, walking paths so that you can shared use walking paths so that you can get all around downtown without, you know, feeling nervous on narrow sidewalks. You know, mm-hmm. it's going to be just a really, I think it's important with downtown revitalization to recognize that vehicles aren't the only mode of transportation coming to and using downtown. You get a lot of pedestrian activity. We're building sections of the Swamp Rabbit Trail that will ultimately connect back to Greenville. And so all of those things work hand in hand to build a vibrant downtown that's going to be beautiful and easy to navigate when we're done.
So this, speaking of sizing things, this amphitheater will, I imagine, be of a very different size than CC&B Amphitheater, which has extraordinary capacity.
It does. It has a capacity of 14,500 people when it's a standing room only event. We have a concert Thursday night that's sold out, but our 5,000 reserved seats are still going to be in place. It's not intended to be a standing event. That's going to be 10,500 people coming to Simpsonville on Thursday. No, the amphitheater that we have designed and envisioned for City Park is going to be in the, you know, 1,000 capacity range. Mm-hmm. And there's not a gate, you know, so it's for free events. It's not meant to be a ticketed event amphitheater. It's meant to be just walk up at your leisure and, you know, put a blanket on the great lawn and enjoy if there's music on stage, or if you just want to come over when there's nothing going on and have a picnic in that space and listen to the water wall, which is going to be about 10 feet tall and 16 feet long. And it's just going to be a beautiful entry focal point for the new reimagined City Park. Mm-hmm. And then the beauty of all of that is we're vacating the space that we're in currently on Main Street. So this is already under contract for sale to a development partner. We selected a partner that we felt had the right concept for this space. And so it's going to put this property back on the tax rolls and activating more of Main Street for further economic development. And so we're really
anything you can describe yet, or is it not?
Unfortunately, not in any detail. I will tell you it is a mixed use concept with some commercial on the bottom and about 3 floors of residential.
Okay.
And so we're excited about that because we know to truly have an activated downtown, you need a residential component too. Mm-hmm. You need people who live in that space so that there's always something going on.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited about the future of Simpsonville and what all of these projects mean. And we didn't just haphazardly come up with, let's do this project, let's do that. We did a conceptual master plan that included the renovation of the Arts Center, the relocation of city buildings, the reimagined City Park, and then a downtown revitalization effort as well that's going to add streetscape and traffic realignment and pedestrian scale street lighting, wider sidewalks, all of those things that are really going to make the experience that people have in downtown Simpsonville the very best experience they can have.
You say you're excited. Would this be simply exciting?
This is simply exciting. This is simply postponing my retirement, but it's simply exciting.
So these achievement awards with the Municipal Association, the purpose of all of this is to take really cool projects around the state and just say to all the other cities and towns, hey, check this out. This is a cool thing that you could maybe riff on, do something with this kind of idea. So the question I ask there is, what would you say other cities and towns just overall can learn from what Simpsonville has done here with the Arts Center?
So I mentioned the conceptual master plan that we did early on. I think that's the key. First of all, yes, inventory whatever buildings you have and start thinking about adaptive reuses of those buildings, but also plan, you know, have an end goal in mind when you start these projects. So I believe that each project can be a building block on top of the next one. It doesn't have to be just one thing in your community. It can be multiple things. When I was in Travelers Rest before I came to Simpsonville, of course, we had tremendous success with the Swamp Rabbit Trail. And so I found myself doing a road show quite often with Ty Houck, who was the director of Greenways for Greenville County. And the Swamp Rabbit was, you know, that was one of the main things that he was responsible for. He and I would take this show on the road and go to communities in North Carolina and Georgia, all over South Carolina, talking about the economic impact of that. And what I would say to people is, you don't have to have an abandoned rail line to create a trail network. Mm-hmm. You know, you can do it on sewer easements or power easements. There are other ways you can have this amenity in your community. So maybe you don't have an abandoned movie theater or elementary school, but there might be a building that can function as a community center or mm-hmm. as an artist space, you know, where you just bring in the studio and you may not have an auditorium. So there are a lot of different ways you can approach these things and tailor them to fit your own community. I just think, you know, municipal government is the place I've always wanted to be, because it's exciting to take something from concept to fruition and be part of that along the way. And it's so rewarding when the community embraces what you've done. So I would say, you know, definitely if you don't have an old elementary school, you know, still come and see us and see our space and talk to mm-hmm. us about how we put funding resources together and maybe do something that does work in your community. It mm-hmm. doesn't have to be exactly the project we've done. But yeah, I think, you know, I was in awe of the other award winners during the presentation at the annual meeting this summer, because all the projects were so different. And they were all just the right fit for those particular communities. Mm-hmm. So there's so many great ideas that you can get from successes that other communities have had.
You emphasize planning. How much could you characterize how much time went into planning for the Art Center? It's quite a bit.
Quite a bit. Like I said, there was a feasibility study that had already been done a couple of years before I came here. Mm-hmm. And I came here in early 2018. So this feasibility study, I think, started in 2016. Mm-hmm. And it was basically the right thing to do because, again, you don't want to just go throw resources into a building that maybe has no chance of ever becoming what you envision it to be. Mm-hmm. You know, it has to make sense for the community. You have to say, this is a community with the population, and there are community theater groups that will come in and program this space, and we believe it will work. And, you know, that was, I'm happy to share that feasibility study with anybody who might be interested in it as well, because you have to make sure it's the right fit for your community. And Malden had a cultural arts center, Fountain mm-hmm. Inn had the Yount Center for Performing Arts, and so we weren't going to be the only one doing this type of programming. And so we had to look too, is there a need for this in our community, since mm-hmm. we have it in the other communities that are on either side of us. And so that's important too, you know, to really plan for and study what you think you want, because what you may end up with at the end of that master plan is something completely different.
Well, as we wrap up, any final thoughts about the Art Center?
I just want everyone, if you're listening to this, please come to Simpsonville and visit us. Come to an event there. Come to a gallery opening. Come to a performance on the stage, because these community theater groups are doing amazing things. And they're keeping the price very affordable for your family to come and enjoy it. Come visit one of the artist studios and see what's going on there. I just think it's a wonderful opportunity to see what can be done with a building that had been neglected for two decades mm-hmm. and how you can really bring something back to life with the right plan. So I would encourage people to do that. And I will just end with this. I hope that we get to have this conversation in about 2 years from now, after we've won an award for the Reimagined City Park and for the downtown revitalization. We're just going to keep bringing our projects back, because we're so proud of everything that we have going on here.
Well, you,
and we think they're pretty outstanding projects, and we're always happy to show them off if anybody, any of our municipal partners want to come take a look.
So you're tipping your hand of what you're going to be applying for in 2025?
Yeah, I am. I wish I could apply as early as next year, but we're not going to be quite far enough along. So yeah, it'll have to wait for the 2025 cycle.
Well, to that point, for those who are brainstorming for the 2024 awards, You can go through all of these 2023 winners, Simpsonville Arts Center and otherwise, at the Municipal Association's website, www.masc.sc. You search for Achievement Awards. You can see the videos that go with all of these. Of course, in Simpsonville, shot all through the Arts Center. There is a lot to see for this one and for the other projects. And with that said, Diana, thank you so much for joining us and talking about the Simpsonville Arts Center.
Thank you so much for having me again. And thanks to the association for the recognition. We are thrilled to have it, and we are bragging about it all over the place.
The City Quick Connect podcast is one of several ways the Municipal Association keeps you informed of the opportunities and issues impacting South Carolina cities and towns. Learn more at www.masc.sc and stay up to date with the Association's latest happenings on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.